Welcome to church. Good to see you all. Amen. About 10 years ago, this time, I don't know the exact date, but 10 years ago in July, I was pregnant with Ethan, my first boy, and he was born in October, so I was about six, seven months pregnant. And as a family, Gilbert and I, well, he made the decision. He had to make one of the hardest decisions he's ever had to make. He was working at an accounting firm in Toronto, and we had just moved to Fern Bay. It would take him an hour to get home. And he made the decision to leave his work. He made the decision to leave full-time employment that was guaranteed, and he took on a job that was a three-month contract. And after 3 months, there was no guarantee of what was going to happen. And the 3 months happened to be exactly around the time I was due. So I was asking him yesterday, I was like, tell me more. Well, why did you make that decision? And one of the things was he needed to be closer to home. And he also needed more money. So this job was more money. But he just knew the time had come for him to leave his current job. But in the natural, when you look at it, he was leaving a secure place. He was leaving a place where his career was progressing. If he had stayed there, he would have just continued to rise up in that organization. But he came to a point where he had to make a decision. And that decision didn't make sense. Like, I asked him if he had fears. He said, yeah, I was leaving full-time work. I've got a three-month contract. I've got a wife and a child to take care of without a guarantee of what's going to happen. Within 6 months, the three-month contract ended. They extended it for another 3 months, and then within 6 months, he got made permanent. Why am I telling you this story? All of us in our lives, we have to make decisions. And those decisions we make don't always make sense, but it is about obeying the voice of God, about obeying that instruction. So sometimes, you know, you just get this feeling of, I've overgrown this place. And the next season that God is calling you to, you look at it and it is scary. And it is like, God, but this place is safe. This place is safe. But God's like, yes, I know it's safe, but I'm calling you to that next season. But that in-between phase looks so scary. It looks so scary. So the decisions you and I make every day become the story of our lives. So your life today, my life today, is a result of the decisions we've made previously. And our future will be the result of the decisions that we're making today. Do we know what really is on the line when we say, I choose? So every time you make a decision, sometimes it's a verbal, I choose. Sometimes it's not a verbal, I choose, by you going a certain way. So this morning, by you sitting there where you are, by me being here where I am, we said, I choose to go to the house of God this morning. You know, sometimes we agonize about what to wear. You know, if you're traveling to Melbourne, most times I travel to Melbourne, I pack for the four seasons because I never know what weather is going to be there. We agonize about what to wear. We agonize about what to eat, what car to drive. But what about the bigger decisions of life? Our actions are choosing something. Have you ever made a difficult decision and you had two choices? And when you made that decision, do you remember how you felt? Did you have peace saying, like I asked you, but he said he had peace. He was, in the natural, it just did not make sense, but he had peace about it. Or have you made a decision and then you start second-guessing yourself and then there's turmoil in your heart. You're like, oh, did I make the right decision? Can I go back and change? I know my kids will ask me, oh, I want chocolate or chips. I'm like, choose one. Sometimes it takes 3 minutes for them to choose one. And so I'll be like, okay, here, have that. But when they get one, like, oh, actually, I've changed my mind. I want that. How many of us do that with our lives? How many of us do that with our lives? Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20. I'm reading it in the New Living Translation. It reads, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The title of my message today is Choose Life, How to Make Wise Choices. So God has given you and I the power to make choices. And from reading this verse, he's saying he has given us the choice between life and death. He doesn't just stop there. He then tells us the answer. He's like, you need to choose life. And by choosing life means you will love God, that you will obey him, that you will commit firmly to him. And this is the key to your life. So looking into your situation, looking into that battle you're facing, have you chosen life? Have I chosen life? You know, we make that choice in our thoughts. It's amazing everything that's happened in this service this morning. So you and I have the right to choose our thoughts. We have the right to choose our words. We have the right to choose the decisions that we make. But those choices we have, are they choices of life or are they choices of death? So on every side of every issue that you and I face, there's two sides. There's the devil's side, and on his side, there's evil spirits, there's the demonic, there's sickness, there's hopelessness, there's just death on that side. And then on the other side, there is God, and there's life, there's hope, there's prosperity, there's victory. But you and I stay in the middle, and this middle ground, this arena where we're battling with these choices is our mind. But we have to choose which side we're going to partner with. For some of us, the devil has been whispering, you are done with your life. You are not going to amount to anything. That's the end of it. It starts off as a thought. We might meditate on it. The longer we just think on it over and over again, it becomes a reality in our mind. Then we speak it out. Like I said at the start, when we speak things out, we establish them. At the same time as the devil is whispering those lies to you, the Holy Spirit is like, no, you are a child of God. I've called you to conquer. I've called you to victory. But it is up to you and I to make the choice. Do we partner with the devil or do we partner with God? So the words we speak establish the power of the side that we are in agreement with. So the devil says you can't change your life. You're stuck in a rut. At the same time, God says, I have a future for you. I have a hope. I have called you to reign in life. Question to you this morning, who are you in agreement with? Are you in agreement with the devil or are you in agreement with God? So the simple decisions that we make in our hearts, at that point, we decide in our mind, this is what I'm going to do. That's the point things are established. That is the point that the point where you're either winning or you're losing. Is that point where you're choosing life or you're choosing death? So when you make a resolve that you are blessed, that you are healed, regardless of what is happening in the natural, the point you say, I believe the word that says, by the stripes of God, stripes of Jesus, I am healed. That is the point you become healed. Sometimes it might take a while for things to manifest in the spirit, but in the spiritual realm, that is the point and that is the date that it is marked that you got your victory. Amen. So the decisions we make every day become the story of our lives. And like I said before, do we really know what is on the line when we say, I choose? Verbally I choose, or just in our thoughts and in our minds. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What fruit are you eating in your life? What fruit am I eating in my life? So when you say I can't, or I can't do that, yes, that's for everybody else, but that's not for me. You're choosing to be on the devil's side. You're allowing his lies to dominate you and discount you from the purpose and the calling that God has for you. So whatever it is God is calling you and I to step out into today, he has fully equipped us. In the natural, we might not have the skills that say, yes, you can do this. But in the spirit, he has declared it and he has established it that we are going to achieve and we are going to overcome. So when you and I stand our ground and say, in Christ Jesus, all things are possible for me, regardless of what the storms are coming, regardless of what the media is telling you, regardless of what your bosses are telling you at work or what your supervisor is telling you at uni, regardless of that, when you choose to make that stand, that I will stand with God, that through Christ I can do all things because he is the one who strengthens me. When we make that resolve, we are headed for victory. And we should always choose life, as we read in Deuteronomy 30. So what areas in your life have you been speaking death and you need to choose life today? Just have a moment to think about it and say, Holy Spirit, what areas in my life am I speaking death into? Have your parents called you worthless and stupid? I actually heard a man say that to his kid yesterday. Maybe that's your story, that your parents never saw your worth, they never saw your value. And so you believe that you're worthless. That's a lie from the enemy. That is a lie. Because it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So God, the creator of heaven, knows you. Is your spouse belittling you and that you've begun to question your own worth? Have you failed so many times now you've begun to think that you yourself are a failure? Just because you failed many times does not make you a failure. It does not make you a failure. You are beyond the failures of your life and you're beyond the victories of your life as well. Have you been waiting for your dream and your desire to come to pass for a year, 10 years, 20 years, that you've lost hope in that dream? You're like, you know what? I didn't hear from God. I am here to tell you that is the report of the devil. God has said he has called you to be victorious in whatever it is that you do. He says in his word, whatever you lay your hands on is blessed. I've been teaching that to Noah. And so he went to Gilbert. He's like, you're blessed. Gilbert's like, what? He touches the wall. He's like, you're blessed. Touches the floor. You're blessed. And that is it. Whatever you touch is blessed. Whatever you touch and you believe the authority that you have, you make that spiritual transfer. It shifts into the realm of the heavenlies. Amen. Ask the Holy Spirit, just ask him right now, that in the situation that you're going through, in that thing that is burdening you right now, what does it look like to choose life? What does it look like to choose life? You know, Jesus and all the forces of heaven are behind you and I. They are backing us up. In Hebrews 3 verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. What is your confession this morning? So if your confession lines up with the word of God, you have Jesus overseeing it, standing over it, making sure that it is going to come to pass. But if your confession does not line up with it, you have the enemy standing over it, overseeing it, just as they are angels of God waiting. So when we speak, this is how I visualize it, that there's demons standing there, there's angels standing there. And as I speak, if they're words of life, the angels swoop those words and they run with them and they make them come to pass. But if they're words of death, the demons scoop them and they run with them and they make them come to pass. This is not to scare you. This is to give you the reality of the power that we have when we speak. In Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." So as we speak the word, there's angels assigned to you and I. I actually, this is my thing. I don't know how theologically correct it is. I believe everybody is assigned angels. And depending on what it is that needs, they can call on other angels to come forth and do the assignment that God has called them to do. So we need to speak God's word in faith because there are angels assigned to us waiting readily. Like I told you, that's how I visualize. They're just waiting. And then as we speak, "I am a child of God," they take that word and they run with it and they stamp it in your finances and they stamp it in your health and they stamp it in your workplaces. They stamp it in your 2030, in your 2050, in your 2080. They go and stamp it. That by the time we walk through that situation, it's already declared that you and I are children of God. So when we speak the lies of the enemy that are contrary to the word of God, we're empowering the demons to carry out those words. So our words give access to the devil, and they can open doors for affliction just by the words that we speak. So the mind is the battlefield. That is the arena where all this stuff is happening. Where this is the battlefield of the choices. So our mind is where we make the decision. So in your mind, the devil can show you that it's not going to work. Think about it. Have you ever spoken words you have not thought? Unless you're sleeping, maybe, and you're sleep talking. But whatever you speak, you've thought. So the devil is saying to some of us, or has been saying to some of us, he'll tell you, "You will never make it in that situation you're facing. You will never make it." He'll tell you, "There's no way out. You're stuck. You've exhausted all options. This is the way your life is going to be forever." He can plant a thought that says, "You can't do it." Or he can plant a thought, "There's something wrong with your physical heart. Your father died of heart disease, so will you. There's cancer running in your family, so it'll come to you someday." And you almost anticipate that cancer word, that cancer diagnosis coming into your life because he's speaking those words. You might even say to you, "You're not educated enough. Therefore, you will not be the one to run all these businesses." Yet God has told you that he has called you to be an entrepreneur, that he has called you to just go out into the business world and to change the business world for him. For some of us, he could be saying to you, "You will die young." And there's just a fear. As I was praying this morning, last night for the service, I just sensed that there's some of us in here that have just such a fear of death, that you're just so on edge, like, "My life," that is a lie from the enemy. And for some of us in here this morning as well, the devil has told you that pain is normal, that whatever pain is in your body, that's the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. That is a lie from the enemy. So if you receive these lies, whatever lies that he's telling you, if you take those lies and you believe that is the truth and you start to think on them over and over, eventually you will speak those lies. And when we speak those lies, we're speaking death. We are speaking death. You know, when you think over and over something that's just wrong, it becomes worry. How many of us are worried about something? What's the thing that is worrying you? The fact that there's worry in your heart, it means you're meditating on something that is wrong. You're putting faith in the wrong realm rather than putting faith in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So as you get your faith in the negative and start worrying, you begin establishing death in your life. So that area where you're experiencing defeat, where you're experiencing havoc, just think about it. What words have I been speaking about that situation? So worry, when we act on worry, it becomes doubt. And then when we act on doubt, it becomes unbelief. Matthew 12, verse 37, it reads, For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So the words we've been speaking, are they justifying us? Or are they condemning us? 2 Corinthians 1:20. It reads, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." Pastor Mirella preached an amazing sermon towards the end of last year where she just dissected this verse. And she said the word promise, the promise in that verse in the Greek, means a law term for summoned. So it means that whatever God has spoken, he has summoned it, he has declared it, and nothing and no one can shift it. So that is a promise of God, that whatever his word is in his word, whatever promises he has spoken to you, they are already established. But how we make them fully established in our lives is if our mouths, if our thought life align with that word that he has spoken. So what has God spoken to you, but you've just been killing it with your words? But once God speaks it, there's no backing out unless we sabotage it with the words that we speak. So how do we choose life? How do we make wise decisions? Philippians 4:8-9. It reads, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the key for us to speaking life. It is saying whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is true. So we need to shift our minds. Situations come at us. Words from other people come at us. Words from our leaders could come at us. But that does not give us a license to take their words and make them our words. This is what we need to do. We need to be meditating on those words. And it takes time and it takes training for us to recondition our minds. For some of us, our minds have been conditioned this way for 21 years, 35 years, 50 years. So it takes time for us to recondition our minds so that they begin to think life and they begin to speak life. So the first thing we need to do if we're going to make wise choices, daily you and I need to take an audit of our thoughts. At the end of the day, before you sleep, just think and say, "Holy Spirit, show me the thoughts I've had. Show me the thoughts of life." And he will show you those thoughts of life. And then you say, "Show me the thoughts of death." The thing with doing that daily is you catch things straight away. As soon as the devil plants those seeds, you catch them straight away. So if the thoughts at the end of your day, if the thoughts, the Holy Spirit shows you the thoughts of death, you need to pull them down straight away. You need to reject those thoughts and you need to replace them with a godly truth. For those that did the fast with us at the start of the year, that was one of the keys we learned. That as a thought comes that is not aligning with the word of God, immediately pull it down. But don't end there, replace it. So if the devil is telling you that you're worthless, say, "No, I am not worthless. I am a child of God. I have been bought at a price. I am a co-heir with Christ. Therefore, I am royalty. I am a royal priesthood, and I am established in the kingdom of God." So you need to speak back. Don't worry about the people next to you. It's okay. You can look silly to them as long as you know you're establishing what God needs to establish in your life. In 2 Corinthians, I don't have this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll read from verse 3 to verse 5. It reads, "We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. This is what you and I need to do daily. We need to capture those rebellious thoughts. So what is a rebellious thought? A rebellious thought that tells you you're nothing. A rebellious thought is any thought that questions the authority of Jesus in your life. A rebellious thought is a thought that makes you want to kill yourself. A rebellious thought is a thought that tells you there's hopelessness, that you're not going to amount to anything, that this is the way things are going to be, that you're called for nothing. That is a rebellious thought. Do you know why it is rebellious? Because it is coming against the mandate and the calling and the purpose that God has spoken over you. So that's the first thing we need to do. We need to take audit of our thoughts daily and weigh them to see, are they aligning with God or are they aligning with the devil? The second thing we need to do, we need to daily spend time reading the Word. We need to spend daily time reading the Word. If we go back to Deuteronomy 30, it says, you will make this choice by loving your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. If you and I are to commit ourselves firmly to God, we need to know what His Word says. We need to know what His Word says about the situation that we're going through. So if it is sickness, that is the report of the enemy. But what does God's Word say about sickness? If it's studies, He's telling you, you can't. But what does the Word of God tell you? He says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When I was a student, one of my favorite verses was in Daniel, where he says he gave him wisdom above all his instructors. I would speak that. I'm like, God, I have wisdom above all my instructors. And that is what the Word of God says. Personally, I use the YouVersion Bible app. If you don't have it, I encourage you to have it. They have plans from 3 days to 2 years if you want to. And sometimes, you know, it takes me maybe 3 minutes. It will have the verse there. It will have like an encouragement, and then it will have like an action item. I encourage you, read your Bible every day. It sounds very simple, sounds like something we should be telling the kids in kids' church, but that is one of the fundamental truths and fundamental strongholds in God that is going to make you and I stand. So if we continue to study the Word, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The more you study the Word, the more the Word just begins to just come out of you. And the Word coming out of you doesn't mean you have to quote verse and chapter and where it is, the version. It's just the literal Word of God in your words, in however you interpret it to be. That's how we should be quoting the Word. And if we continue to study Jesus' Word, we become like Him. We become more like Him because it says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And how do we get our minds renewed? By studying the Word. So what does it mean to live a victorious life as a Christian? What does it mean to make wise decisions? What does it mean to walk as a Christian in 2018? The same meaning and value Jesus did when He walked the earth is the same it is today. But for us to get there, we need to be spending time in the Word. And as you're spending time in the Word, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal to you how to think. He will start to say, you know that lie that you were believing? Sometimes you don't even know it's a lie. Sometimes, you know, you're just tentative about doing something. And the Holy Spirit is, you're listening to the lie of the enemy. You don't want to step out because there's fear. And you're, oh, wow, I didn't even realize there's fear. But the more we spend in the Word, the more we know His voice. So He can speak to us in the middle of the busiest street. And because we know His voice from reading the Word, we can hear His voice in the loudness and in the chaos of life. The third thing you need to do to make wise choices is to ask the Holy Spirit what He says about your situation. So be specific. So if it is hopelessness, just say, Holy Spirit, I feel hopeless right now in my life. Why do I feel hopeless? And he'll reveal to you that you're feeling hopeless because that person spoke those words and you now feel your value has come down. And after he reveals to you the source, you deal with the source. So if there's things you need to close, doors you need to close in your life, you close them. But don't stop there. Then the next part is like, okay, I need a strategy to get me out of this. What do I need to do? And so it could be every time you're feeling hopeless, put on loud music and just dance like crazy. That could be the strategy for you. Or it could be, I want you to have a verse and you just meditate on it. Or you write things in your car, in your dash, in the mirror, anywhere. And follow those and be obedient to the instructions that he gives you. And the fourth thing we need to do is to meditate on who God says we are. Who God says we are. You will know who God says you are by spending time in the Word. By spending time in the Word.